Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. By the way, I know some people have been texting in that the signal this morning is having some problems. It's weather. You know, we just, every once in a while, the weather gets in the way and interferes. I'm sorry. The 92.3 and also the 95.3 FM signal are very low power, so they're more susceptible to these problems. If you didn't know, we have 95.3. We also have 98.7 digital channel 2, 3. God, I can never remember. 3 or 2. Thank you, John. AM 1620 is always there. That's our base signal. And then on the app, you can listen at News Radio Pensacola or online at newsradio923.com. I know there's a lot of options, but I'm telling you that because, I mean, me too. Sometimes I'm in my car and it doesn't sound, so I'll switch over to the AM because AM's just always there, always consistent, you know. Joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so a lot of stories to get to with you. One thing, you had a couple of incidents of jugging, and that is not a term I had ever heard before, nor is it something that you need to be 18 to watch, but it kind of feels that way as a term. What is jugging, and why has it become a concern for PPD?
Well, I got to tell you, when I first heard of it last week, and I've been doing this for 38 years, I thought, you know, where did this term come from? And I even Googled it and came up with nothing. Only that it's a term that's used nationwide when a person goes into a financial institution, makes a withdrawal or cashes a check, and then is followed to the next stop, whether it be home or maybe a shopping center or a restaurant. And at that point, the suspects will punch the window in the car and take the money out of the car. So that's what happened twice last week. We don't know if the person was being watched from inside or outside, but we are working on that case. There were several thousand dollars stolen from each individual.
Mm. That's, I mean, it's horrible. I'd just never heard of that before, and it's a very frustrating thing. And it's got a weird name, but you know, that's, I'm glad you're teaching people about it because it's something to be aware of. And you know, short answer here is if you do get cash out of the bank, keep the cash on your person. Don't leave it in your car, right?
Well, yeah, but even more, be aware of your surroundings. Once you leave that financial institution, keep an eye on your rearview mirror. Make sure you're not being followed. Don't take a direct route home. Make a couple of extra turns if you suspect somebody's following you. And if that's the case, get on the phone. Call 911. Don't go home. Don't stop. Just keep the dispatcher on the phone, and we will get behind that vehicle and get it stopped as quickly as we can and find out what's going on.
And you can always pull up to the police station, and people don't tend to follow you there.
Yeah.
So there's always a way to solve it. And maybe they will. Maybe we can do everybody a favor, and you can arrest them on the spot. Pace and Cervantes at the convenience store, we had a shooting there. Is that right?
Well, a shot was fired, but nobody was hit. There was a fight. There was one person injured in that fight, but the round did not hit anybody. So we're also working on that one as well.
What? Why? Well, why were they fighting?
Well, we're working on that, too. We had initial information that one person was going through another person's car. I don't know if that ended up being true or not, but there was an altercation between two people, and one round was fired. We don't know if that was the suspect or a victim, but, again, that one's being worked on.
Okay. All right. And, I mean, there's always a possibility it could have been stand your ground or self-defense or something. I mean, who knows? That's why you got to do the investigation, right? The story that has been a lot in the news, and of course we talked about it a little bit yesterday, the troubles at O'Reilly's. Now, it's being described that there are a couple of issues. One, it's being said that your office has said that the problems are no worse than any other community bar. The other is that you can't enforce a noise ordinance or a noise complaint across a street, like across Creighton. So you're here, you're with me, you represent the department. Tell me what is happening here. What should we know?
Well, that's right. It's there's no more issues up there than there are any other bar in Pensacola. The only difference is this one has homes across the street, and we will respond to that area if there are noise complaints. And we've never had any issues with them not turning down the music. And they've been very cooperative with us. And, you know, it's a situation that we hope will fix itself here pretty soon now that more people are aware of it. But O'Reilly's hasn't been an issue for us any more than any other bar in town. So, you know, there is noise ordinances. And when there's a complaint, officers will go up there. And on Wednesday nights, we have an officer that works there off duty to make sure things are going well.
I had a question on this. I had thought that the idea, and I may be completely wrong about this, but I had it rumbling around in my brain. I had the idea that like happy hours were illegal, or that some kind of restriction existed where you couldn't, like dollar drink night, that there was something about that that was, but I could be completely wrong. That's, I guess, a legal practice, at least in Pensacola.
Yes, it is. I think, I don't know if you're talking about bottle clubs, if you're talking about something like that, which we don't have anymore, but the bar can charge what they want for the drinks. And if they choose to let 18-year-olds in on one particular night, there's a lot of employees at all of the bars, or two that I know of, that do that, that are constantly watching for to make sure the IDs are right, to constantly watch for underage drinking. And there's a lot of people looking out for things like that.
Well, and I mean, you know, look, given the bar landscape in this town, you know, some bars have their specials on Thursday. And, you know, why would you fight? Why don't you go to a different night? I mean, I get why you do it as a business owner. So just a question of, can we accommodate the neighbors and make sure that everybody winds up happy in the end, and not killing trees creatively? You guys had a call out last night at Bruce Beach that, well, didn't get better, right? What happened here?
Well, we went to assist a male that had fallen on the rocks, the loose rocks there at the water. He fell and had a head injury, and EMS was called. When EMS and officers got there to assist him, he began fighting both of them. Two officers were punched. So was an EMS worker, and the officers had to end up using the taser on this individual to get him to settle down so they could provide care to him and get him off the rock. So, yeah, sometimes your help is not welcome.
He did not have a good night. He fell down at Bruce Beach on the rocks, called for help, needed EMS, and winds up fighting and punching with those folks and getting tased. So, okay. But, you know, how often – I always think about this with EMS, that, you know, those folks are in precarious situations an awful lot. How often do you guys have to help them with stuff like this?
Well, it's often, and what they'll do is they'll respond and they'll hold back per their policy, which is exactly what they should do until we get in there and get the situation calmed down. And we will also remain with them to make sure that they're not injured, and we will also ride in the ambulance if we need to make sure that they're not injured. So they're there to do a job, to provide help. They're not there to be assaulted. So we do that just about on a daily basis to assist them.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when you talk about, you know, scenes of violence of some kind, they have to wait for you, because even though that's time, and time is life, but you know, they're not equipped to handle that, and you guys are. And I just always think that's a slice of that job, as being a EMS responder, that, or fire sometimes as well, same thing, because they respond in lieu of EMS, that, you know, we just don't talk very much about. You guys had a memorial service on Tuesday. I think the sheriff's office is having theirs this morning at 9 a.m. It is, you know, police officer recognition week. I think it might even be day today. But this is something that you do every year to remember the lost, right?
Yeah, we do. And we have good turnout that day. We do this every year. And for those who have been lost in the line of duty, and for their families, the families turn out every year, and have been for a long time, for the officers that we've lost, which is way too many. And we appreciate the recognition. And there was a mural painted at the graffiti bridge for the Pensacola Police Department that we appreciate very much for the individual that did that. So a lot of people showed their appreciation to not only us, but law enforcement's officers across the board this week, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, and that mural was fabulous, with the canine and the canine handler. You know, as soon as you had sent that to all of us in the news, I immediately put that on Facebook. I'm like, people are going to love this, and they sure have. And, you know, who would paint over it? Who would, you know, deface it? Well, you know, people are people. And so, and also some local citizens stepped in to clear it up, to clean it up after that happened, which is great, too. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, this is more of a did you know, and it has to do with our what we call cruise lights, or steady burn lights on our cruisers. Sometimes you'll see an officer sitting in a parking lot with those on. They're dimmed, and they're not flashing. They're just on, just red and blue lights that are steady burning. And what that is, we use that to make ourselves more visible, and to make sure that people know who we are, where we are. And sometimes you will see us do that while the cruiser is moving. And particularly during bad weather, we had a storm come through on a couple of days ago, and I was on Interstate 110, and there happened to be two other cruisers there that were making sure they were below the speed limit, going at a safe distance or safe speed with their cruise lights on. And the reason I bring this up is one person began to pull over. So you do not have to pull over if an officer gets behind you with a steady burn light on. You do not have to yield or pull over to that vehicle. It's not an emergency mode. It's just letting people know that they're there to slow down, that the road conditions are bad. Something like that. So if they want you to pull over, they will flash their lights. They will bump the siren. There's a big difference there. So the cruise lights are just to let you know where we are and to be safe.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know, and I can certainly imagine a lot of people want to err on the side of caution. And if they see the as you call it, steady burn blue, they'll just pull over because I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. But like you say, you don't have to.
Right.
Also, just one additional note. I just want to make sure. I think we might have talked about this, but it's worth mentioning in context. Citizens on their vehicles cannot have lights red and blue. They not only can't have them on, they're not supposed to have them on the car. Is that right?
That's right, especially the blue. And what the biggest violator we see of that are sometimes the trucks with the blue lights underneath and the Uber and Lyft cars with the logo in blue in the windshield. That is illegal in the state of Florida.
Real okay, the front windshield red, blue, whatever, that's and the blue colored lights under the truck, all of that's illegal.
Yes, you can't have blue lights anywhere, red lights to the rear only.
Interesting. Okay, I'm learning all kinds of stuff here today. That's fascinating. What do you do when you've got – I mean, I've seen them, so they drive that way, like the Uber and Lyft drivers that have those those lights on. Do you pull them over and warn them? What do you do?
Yeah, they get warned to turn it off, to go to another color. Some of those are LEDs, and they can switch the colors with the flip of a button. So,
okay.
Well, we have no issue with that. They'll just change the color. But, like every vehicle that we pull over, there's a code in there why we stopped it. And if a warning was issued, we already know that. And if they're stopped again for the same thing, then we have to go beyond a warning, obviously. So most of the time, we don't have to do that, though.
Okay. So green, white, yellow, fine, just not red and blue.
That's correct.
All right. Well, interesting. Again, I love talking to you because I always learn stuff. Mike Wood, he's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thanks for the time, keeping us safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.